This is Whitney.
And this is Hysterical Women,
the podcast that no one asked for about our thoughts about gender in our society.
Each week, we're going to dissect events, macro
and micro, to determine if we think this week was a win
or a loss for feminism.
Gosh.
Oh my gosh.
Look who we have today.
Who is it? It's someone who has famously dragged Nora on her cleanliness.
After I invited people into my little weird haunted ass room, and then I was just dragged straight to hell. But that's okay, because we love a dialogue. Today we have, I don't know your last name, Catherine.
Whistler.
I know that, but I was like, I just got nervous that I would say it wrong, even though I was like, I'm pretty sure you've told me that it's pronounced Whistler.
You know, it's pretty hard to offend me with my name. People sometimes will call me Whisper or Whisker, and I just think those sound cooler than Whistler.
Whisper's kind of cute. Whisker is cute, too.
I know. Cuter than Whistler. And I famously cannot whistle.
Oh,
so,
a fun fact.
Fun fact.
I can't really either.
So much better than I thought it would be.
That was pretty good.
We're in the room. My room is where it happened.
I guess so.
The Whistler whistled. Catherine. You're here in this improv house. Wow, wow, wow. Time to be alive. But, like, we don't actually really know you, and I'd love to know, like, you're a comedy lady. You're an acting lady. Like, tell us a little bit about, I don't know, your journey.
We want to know your journey. How did you get to where you are? Not specifically to the improv house, although maybe specifically to the improv house. What got you here? What do you want people to know about your journey through the wiles of the acting world?
Well, I as so many of us do, I started doing theater as a child. Loved
Adorable.
It.
Adorable. Any lead roles you'd like to brag about?
Or supporting. We support a supporting role. My God. I play supporting roles, so we gotta be supporting
We love supporting, ladies.
It's fun.
Yes.
Pop in. Pop out.
In childhood, I remember doing, like, a play about insects, and,
thought you were gonna say incest, and I was like, okay.
We have lofty themes at my elementary school. What I just thought of when you asked about roles is when I was in, I think it was second grade, and I was the caterpillar narrator, and...
Wait. In The Very Hungry Caterpillar?
No, it was just a musical about insects. Oh. It wasn't like a formed, I mean, I guess it must be someone's formed play.
You're like, not to discredit that author, that playwright, love them.
That author who is unknown. Nice to walk down the street unknown though.
So you were the narrator?
The caterpillar narrator. There was also a bumblebee narrator and a bunch of other insects. I only remember the bumblebee narrator because I messed up and went on when it was the bumblebee narrator's turn.
So you really confused literally everyone in the audience. They were
truly.
Like, what to believe?
My dad was like, you told me to film after the bumblebee song and I missed it.
You were like, you couldn't recognize that I was talking?
Also, I love because, like, I feel like in the 90s when everyone is filming on, like, the tapes... And so it was a thing, because now I feel like with storage, it's just like, you just film the whole thing, kind of. But then when it's filmed, it's like, these are expensive. So yeah, you're just going to film the part your kid is in. And so like, if they don't communicate that to you, then it's gone forever.
It's gone. Yeah. But my dad did film everything. So it's pretty wild that he didn't film the whole show. We have hours and hours of self-tape. Okay.
Wait, sorry. I just say that I'm sorry that I jumped on your story. It was, because I have an experience that I'd like to share. My first play was The Very Hungry Caterpillar, and it's really defining for me because I wanted to be the narrator so bad. But they were like, no, she's not as good at reading. So I was the Very Hungry Caterpillar, which I guess is a lead role.
Yeah. So you just wanted to brag about that.
Yeah, but I want to say that...
Yeah, what? That sounds better. Also, I dragged you for your room, but now I feel like you just came at me because I didn't have a lead in my childhood. And you're like, yeah, well, I did have a lead in my childhood.
But I just wanted to say that, like, I felt like you got to be the caterpillar narrator, which is actually the best of both worlds. And maybe they could have done that for my show.
Maybe you could have been the narrator and the star.
Maybe I could have played every character. It's not what I want.
Honestly, I would watch that show.
And truthfully, like, that would have been good for you, because then maybe you would have had the confidence to pursue a life in the arts.
But yeah, since but not you didn't, now. No.
Not now. So I'm sorry that they robbed you of that.
They robbed me of my hopes, my dreams.
Okay, so no big roles for me in childhood. But then I studied theater at a polytechnic school.
Wait, what does that mean?
I went to Cal Poly San Luis Obispo. They're very well known for architecture and engineering. Yes. The theater program was 40 kids. I remember my high school drama teacher being like, I don't think you should go to Cal Poly. It seems like a bunch of smart kids acting. I was like, well, that sounds great.
Yeah. That sounds like me, actually, so yeah. Fine.
No hate to my program, but going to a polytechnic school for acting is probably not the wisest career move. So after college, I spent 6 years touring a one-woman motivational yo-yo show for children.
You can...
What?
Were you a yo-yo?
Yes. I'm Wait, very good at yo-yoing.
You play the yo-yo? Like, you're cast as the yo-yo?
I played myself. I was Catherine. I am Catherine.
Six
I played Catherine.
6 years. One woman.
We have so many questions.
Is this
a show you wrote?
No.
Okay, you were cast in it.
Yes. Yes, they have about 20 performers, and you have a home base. So I was first based in California in the San Francisco area, and then I eventually moved to upstate New York. It's brutal. But you travel out from your local. So I spent a lot of those 6 years traveling around the United States and abroad and performing this show for children. It was awesome. And then I got very, very sick of touring and performing for children.
Yeah, that's fair. But you're like a yo-yo master.
I'm pretty good at yo-yoing.
That is so cool.
A skill that I have no, I was always and we got it down and up. Thank you.
I did have one time where I did a triangle thing where it goes through.
Yeah, Rock the Baby.
Rock the Baby, that's all. Because they had someone come do a show like that at my school.
Maybe it was her show.
It was very likely the same company.
I'm like, it wasn't Catherine.
It was Catherine. You haven't
met
before.
That would be wild. I do feel like I've run into a lot of people who are I had that show.
Yeah.
I had a yo-yo.
People are like, I had a yo-yo too, so I actually understand your experience.
Yeah. And everyone's always can you walk the dog? Which is literally, to walk the dog, all you do is you throw it down and you set it on the ground. Walking the dog isn't really a trick.
It felt like a trick when I was in elementary school, because it was one I couldn't do.
You could do it today. I'm confident.
Do you have a yo-yo with you?
I don't know that I brought one. I might have one in my car somewhere. I can go digging.
I would.
Wait a second. Is your car not clean?
Drag me. My car is not clean.
Wow.
Whitney, we have to be nice because then. Because
she's our guest.
Yeah. You honestly don't have to be nice. Drag me, and then I feel. Sometimes I feel like when I drag people, I feel like a monster, and you can razz me back.
There you go.
Communal razzing back and forth.
Communal razzing.
Walk that dog back and forth.
Okay, wait. So did you learn how to yo-yo before, or were you cast for your personality, and then they were we'll teach you the yo-yo?
Part of the audition process is learning yo-yo, but I learned for the job. And then there's a yo-yo training that's quite intense. But that is one thing I love about acting. You have to pick up odd skills.
Yes.
And I would have never learned how to yo-yo. That is not a passion of mine. Yeah. I learned because I needed to get a paycheck.
Yeah.
Wow. But now I can yo-yo.
That's so cool.
On my acting resume, thank you. It says that I'm a professional yo-yoer, and in parentheses, I'm available upon request. I want someone to ask me in an audition, and no one ever has.
What?
I believe that one day someone will, and that's going to be my big break.
Yeah, it absolutely is.
But so far, not one person.
Do you have other random skills you've learned because of acting? Or is that the number one?
That's the number one. I also know some sleight of hand, some, basic magic tricks.
That's very cool.
I love this about you.
Okay, wait, so you did that for 6 years.
Yes.
What was it transitioning back into the searching for acting jobs life?
Brutal. I think acting is a tough career because there's not a set trajectory. Mm-hmm. And you know, you get the questions like, oh, you're an actor? What have I seen you in? What have you done? I'm like, okay, like, well, are you an elementary school student? Yeah. I'm like, I've been working, but it doesn't feel like it translates. So the year that I stopped doing that show, I had 5 part-time jobs in New York, and truly, I would be on backstage and stuff, but, like, I had so little energy left over. So the past couple years have been kind of like, okay, how do I erase and rewrite? Like, mm-hmm. where do I want to be? How do I make time for acting class? And how do I make enough money to be able to...
Take acting class.
Take acting yeah. class, yeah. And also have energy left to search for jobs and, like, yeah. send out tapes. And how do I creatively feel fulfilled without someone else handing me opportunities? And that's been interesting. That's led to, you guys see me, like, I'm frantically trying to become a graphic designer. So
you are a graphic designer.
Anyone listening, thank you. Yeah, if you need graphic design work.
Yeah, hire Catherine. Also, drawing.
Yes. Well, I started the drawing classes because of graphic design.
I see.
But that has stemmed from, like, okay, well, I want to be creatively fulfilled
mm-hmm.
in how I'm making money.
Yes.
I don't want to just be waiting for acting to, you know, like, there's this dream of, oh, what if I could constantly be working as an actor? But is that a reality? Like, you can always be paid all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Every actor I know has other jobs, except for people who do this kids show.
It ruined me.
It's a secret. I feel like the people who do it are, like, intentionally hiding it because it sounds like an amazing gig.
Yeah. When he's like, I'm actually gonna go? I think
here's the thing. You would both be great. You would be great at this show. But then you don't really have a ton of room left outside of that. Like, you know, you're not in town for plays or shoots. Who's gonna cast you when you're like, okay, I'm gone 2 weeks a month?
Yeah.
Do you, would you go stay locally or would it be driving to the location every day?
I would stay locally.
Okay. And then also you said that you ended upstate New York. So is that when you moved to the East Coast?
Yeah. I knew that I wanted to be in New York before I turned 25 and told my company I was going to leave to go to New York. And upstate New York had just happened to open up at the same time. So they were like, you can take upstate. And I lived in New Jersey with a 65-year-old woman for 6 months and would drive, like, three and a half hours every day to do this job, thinking, like, I can make my New York dream happen. It was a stepping stone. That was a brutal 6 months, and I would never do that again.
Yeah.
Were you going to, like, Poughkeepsie and Hudson and all those places? Yeah. I went to school up there, but... It's pretty far from the city. Like, you think you're going to be just, like, jetting into the city and, like, da-da-da-da. And you're like, no, I'm, like, fully, like, 2 hours away always.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I would absolutely watch a show about you commuting to yo-yo shows and then living with a 65-year-old woman. Like,
yeah, have you written that?
It sounds delightful.
Yeah.
Right? That pilot.
You know, she would even say, she'd be like, you should write a show about us.
You know, How did you find her?
Craigslist.
Okay.
This was the days, I guess, before
Fear.
Before Roomie apps or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So there was no background check, but that's how I ended up with a 65-year-old woman, because I saw a few apartments. One was a girl who, in her apartment, only had pictures of herself. There were, like, headshots and solo photos framed all around her apartment. No one else was in the pictures. No pictures of anyone else. So that set off an alarm bell.
Yeah.
To have that confidence.
Yes. One was, like, an older couple that I'd have to share a bathroom with. That alarm bells. And this 65-year-old woman who was really sweet, and I knew that I would be safe.
Yeah.
So I chose the safest option.
That's smart. What was the transition like then to, like, doing improv?
Okay, you know when you're in an acting class doing improv exercises or, like, in an audition, they'll say, like, okay, now make it your own. I would just freeze. Be like, what?
Because they're monsters, and that's a terrible thing to do to people.
Yes. Exactly. I had no interest in improv, but I was like, I cannot keep being so afraid of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to take a class. And then I drank the Kool-Aid.
You went all in.
I went all in. For me, I had just moved out of this 65-year-old's apartment and didn't really have friends in the city yet, so it was really a way to meet other creative people. Totally. And still, like, most of my friends came from taking class at UCB.
That's amazing. Did you do sketch and improv or just improv?
I did both, and I kind of did them at the same time. And then I also went to IO Chicago for their summer program. RIP. It's sad, all these theaters closing down now.
I know.
But
IO's so cool. I was, like, in Chicago for a minute for, like, college, and we, like, went to IO, and it was, like, this is, like, where it all started.
Just, like, in case someone listening doesn't know what IO is. I obviously know. What is it?
Improv Olympic. Okay. It was in Chicago, and founded by Del Close.
Oh, okay,
that's
sure.
That's who the UCB4 learned from.
Yeah, and then brought the Herald.
To New York City.
New York City. Thank you. This is our show. Can we get a one-word succession? You know how they always, like, open with the little Del Close? No?
I don't know. The little monologue?
When you go to UCB shows, they always do that little monologue.
I don't remember. It's okay. All just escaped my mind. Look, honestly. Tell me what it is, and I'll put it in our show
tonight.
No,
it's okay. No, we're not doing Herald, so don't even worry.
A wise choice.
Thank you. Yeah. And we were talking about this a little bit. Like, we were talking about, like, what kind of acting stuff, like, product that you want. Acting product? That sounds like,
What acting product would you like to manufacture?
It sounds like tofu or like, you know, like soy product. But like, what kind of stuff is like out there right now that you're like, that are like the shows and the stuff that I love? Or you're like, is this a good question?
This is a great question. Do I look dead in the face?
No. I'm just like, where are we going? Bring it back, Nora. I just want to hear about, like, what you like.
Yeah. Shows that I'd love to be in. Like, This Is Us. My dad just got me onto This Is Us. I know that I'm so late to the party, but it's so good. It's so well written, so well acted. Very juicy. Like, everyone has a juicy storyline.
They know how to just, like, hit you fully in the chest, like, repeatedly.
Yeah. It's NBC, right? Yeah. I feel like every NBC drama, it, like, doesn't even matter if I've watched any episodes preceding it or if I'm just, like, popping in. It's like I'm gonna cry.
Yeah. And I love to cry.
Yeah.
I love to cry.
So interesting. So more in, like, the drama world.
I love drama, and I think comedy was really good for me to, A, just get me away from drama, and B, be like, oh, you don't have to cry in a scene for it to be worthwhile or, like, creatively good.
Mm-hmm.
You do get extra points for crying, but
it's, like, a very masturbatory thing that I think a lot of actors, you know, that's why people take the scenes into class. It's like, I want to feel, and I want people to tell me I'm good at making them feel.
Yeah.
But I also love, like, dark comedy. I love adult cartoons, so, like, BoJack Horseman. Have you guys seen The Midnight Gospel?
I haven't. Mm-mm.
Great show. Very weird. So, like, kind of, like, strange, abstract cartoons meant for adult audiences.
I see that for you.
Me too.
I'm also, like, I see a world where it's, like, your show with your drawing impetus, and I'm like, whoa.
And Whitney. Thank you.
Your voice lends really well to that, too.
Thank you so much. I do have a dream of writing a cartoon like that one day.
Today.
It's today.
It's about the yo-yo.
Please have you love the yo-yo.
I just love some yo-yo thing in it.
The show from the yo-yo's perspective.
Yes.
Like, we'll keep brainstorming.
we'll keep workshopping.
No, that first idea is perfect, and let's never do it.
Never depart.
We're never working on it. We're not workshopping. That's awesome. I like that. I'm excited for you.
Thank you. Women supporting women. We love.
Okay, speaking of, like, women, do you have, I don't know, this is kind of an annoying question, so we can cut it, but do you have, like, this is a podcast about gender. Do you feel like that influences the way you've shown up either in comedy spaces and acting spaces? Do you feel like you've found spaces where it doesn't play in? Do you feel like you're like, oh, I always feel like the minority, or I don't know? That's a broad question.
Comedy has really changed in the last decade, so we see a lot more women. Even, like, here at Improv House, you have cast so many women. And I, in my experience, I've found a lot of women in my improv classes and comedy classes. I'm on a team that's all women and non-binary people.
So cool.
Called
Ghost Click.
I love it.
Thank you. So I think I seek out space where I'm around other women and non-binary people.
I absolutely do too. I was like, yeah. I was, like, looking at my website, norak.com, and I was, like, looking at, like, what photos I have from, like, whatever projects, and I was, like, oh, it's all women and non-binary people in these pictures. So I'm, like, that's the kind of, like, spaces that I feel like I perform best in. Like, I'm the most creatively vital and...
Okay.
Yeah.
I also think it's interesting. I mean, I don't know if these are the kinds of spaces y'all are talking about, but I feel like for me, the ones that are more of like grassroots, kind of like created by the artists, are usually created by like women or non-binary, just because I feel like we've had to create our own.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like a lot of men that I know, if they don't feel like they have a space, then they just... like whine about it instead. Like, I don't know very many men who are creating content. I'm like trying to think. I know that's a broad statement, but
it's like some guys being like, well me
I mean. No, but I think the ones, and maybe it is just the ones that I've been a part of, and I guess at like film festivals and stuff, most of the people there were men, but I do think that a lot of the spaces in like comedy or improv or theater have been women who are like, yeah, I'm used to people not giving me opportunities, so I'm just gonna do it myself.
Yeah, I'm gonna make my own.
Yeah.
I do think a lot of women whose work I respect, I've heard that same story of like, I wasn't seeing myself, so I wrote for myself. Mm-hmm. Or like, I put together this group so that I could have a safe space where like people can come to our shows and see like, oh, like something my improv team will get, which is so offensive. Okay, if you're listening and you see a show of all women and non-binary people, do not say this. Be like, oh, you're all funny. You're all so funny. I was really worried when I saw you come on stage, but you guys are funny.
Who's still saying that?
That's insane.
I think, do you never get that?
We just don't ask for commentary.
I love that. Okay, but I don't ask for it either.
We like do something and then we're like, and that's all, no more questions, thank you.
Everyone's like, we didn't even get to applaud.
I mean, I do think that we're kind of at the point where it's like so central to our work that it's like, it's like revelatory, that it's like women making art, and I'm like, I would love for the conversation to just not be about that at all.
Yeah.
But I hate that people are surprised that... Well, I'm like, you're admitting that, like, your gut reaction was that, like, this group of people were not going to be funny?
Shouldn't that be embarrassing?
It should be. It sure should.
You should razz the hell out of them.
Okay, speaking of razzing, before we got on, we asked, or we were telling Catherine, we're like, we can cut things if you need. And your first impulse was to say, yeah, if I accidentally shit talk my mom. And so now I want to ask you about that, but no, you don't have to actually shit talk your mom, unless you want.
Or we could just talk about if we like, or, like, we could talk about
moms. We could just talk about our moms.
For a sec.
Okay.
Does anyone miss them?
Yeah.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. I talk to my mom, like, every 2 to 3 days.
Yeah.
Like, long conversations, mm-hmm. Yeah. But I haven't seen my mom since Christmas.
Wow. Is that normal or, like, extended because of the quarantine?
It's normal.
Okay. Well, yeah. It's normal, like...
West Coast. How often can people, like...
Yeah. West Coast, and I am not making a ton of money, so... Oh, you know what? Oh, my gosh. I did see my mom after December. I forgot. When was that?
It's none of your business, listeners. Before I was coming up here, I would just like to say I've gotten my COVID test back and it is negative.
Thank goodness.
But I like had quarantine for 14 days, but I really like to spiral into anxiety, which then manifests in my body as like feeling hot and stressed. And so I was like, what if I have COVID? Like, what if I have COVID and I'm not, and I'm like, been checking the results and no one's telling me if I have it. And so I called my mom, but my dad picked up and he was like, she's doing something, like, can I help you? And I love my father, but he was like, yeah, I mean, that's a really tough choice. And I don't know if you should go. And then I was like, I should probably text my mom. And then she was like, you're fine. Like, for some, yeah. None of them are doctors. But, like, my mom was like, it's fine. And I was like, okay, I can go.
I, like, truly believe if there's something that I'm upset about and John's like, actually, you're going to be fine. I'm like, you're a monster. You're not listening to me. And then I call my mom. She's like, actually, you're going to be fine. And I'm like, okay, you're right.
I know. My John the other day was like, why do you need a second opinion when I say something?
Wait, your boyfriend's name is John?
Isn't that yeah. disgusting?
That is wild.
Two Johns. But my husband John doesn't have an H in his name, so we feel like it's a different name.
But it doesn't make any sense for people hearing it because you say it the same way.
Yeah.
It's just awful.
Which is actually something I've been meaning to bring up to you. I don't know if you could start pronouncing the H. Just so people know. Jahan.
Jahan.
It's sad. One of them will get a name change.
I think it's cute. I think it's cute.
Yeah, it's confusing, though.
That makes sense.
Okay, do you have anything else you want to say about your mom?
My mom's great.
Is she a performer?
No. Except she did. Okay, my mom was a dentist, and she used to come into my elementary school dressed as the Tooth Fairy to teach kids about oral hygiene.
She is a performer.
She's a performer.
You know what? I guess I never thought about it like that before. Yeah, that is... Maybe that's where I got it from.
It's kind of her yo-yo show, if we're going to bring it back.
It is. And she was creating her own content before anyone.
Okay. She's the original
content creator.
Yeah, she was a very good tooth fairy.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, that's cute.
That's adorable.
You have a podcast.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think people should plug their things.
Plug.
We love to plug other podcasts on this podcast just to make people very clear that they could also be listening to something else. So, what's your podcast called?
I love that. That's, what's the word? It's the opposite of a scarcity mentality. It's abundance. Abundance.
Yeah. Beautiful. All about here.
Beautiful.
We have so much.
We have so much time to listen to as many podcasts as we want.
Right now, truly.
Truly.
Yeah. Ours is a live podcast. It's with the improv team, Ghost Click. So it's all female non-binary comedians having a good time. It's called Click With Us on the Storm Live podcast app. And it's basically like having a sleepover with your best pals.
That's so fun.
Yeah, it's a very fun group. We're also half queer. That's it.
That's awesome.
I feel like it's important to say.
Yeah. Is it, so you record it live and then it like goes out live also? Like it's happening all at once? Or you just, because sometimes we could say ours is live it's unedited. That's not true.
I edit it.
Someone edits it. It's unclear who it is.
Someone spends hours and hours just with her own voice in her ear.
So it is, it comes, like, people have, do they have to tune in live to
you
hear
You can
it?
Listen to it after the fact. Okay. But if you listen live, you can actually write in and we see the comments come in and we'll, like, respond with our listeners. Right now, they're updating the app, so we're on a little break, which I'm excited to get back to it. But it's also been nice to have a break.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's good to reflect and think about goals.
Yeah.
Setting goals in the time of COVID.
Wild, right?
Truly. Yeah.
Well, and we've talked before on our podcast about how there was a study that, like, it was, I want to say 60, but maybe it was, like, even 80% of women are reevaluating their career goals during COVID. And I think it's, like, one of those things where once we all kind of get caught up in just, like, the same... just like momentum of what we're doing. And so then having the time to stop is actually like, oh, this actually isn't sustainable and I didn't like it and I just ended up here.
Yeah.
And so like being a little bit more intentional, which sounds like because you've started graphic design during this time, right?
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. I don't know what caused my brain to be like, I should take a graphic design class, but I'm so glad that something sparked that because I am loving it. And you know, I mean, I wish that for all people, but specifically women. I'm definitely biased to have fulfilling careers. And I think especially now we're seeing like, oh, you can do so much work remotely.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? Like you can have it all. If you can work remote, that opens so many doors.
Oh, for sure.
Catherine Whistler here today says, we can have it all.
A bold thing to say, and I say prove it, okay? I'm just kidding.
Can I say? I will.
Okay, here's the big question. Could you draw before, though?
No.
What? Wait a second.
Truly? Okay, so I would trace things before, and I've like made cards since I was very little, so I have little ways to cheat, you know, like I have a circle cutter or like things that will make basic shapes, but I have not been able to draw anything realistic, and this class really breaks down the steps of like how to measure things out and see like empty space rather than the actual form you're drawing, like see what is not there and draw that instead, because it's much easier for your brain to process. So,
okay, so when I was, like, looking at those eyes, that you were, like...
Thank you for humoring me.
Stop. No, they're amazing. Not a humor. I don't really humor anyone. they're so beautiful, and the shading is so... But the class is teaching you how to do that?
The class is teaching me. Yes. And
so it's, like, I could be doing something else. I just need to, like, evaluate what I actually want.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean... I fall apart.
I think... For me, it has been very encouraging because I'm like, oh yeah, right, like that's how I got good at yo-yoing. I just did it for a ton of hours, and like same with drawing. I'm getting better because I'm doing it. That day you saw me, I had drawn for like 6 hours straight and then realized that I, you know, had like forgotten to eat. And I think also finding things, that's like a state of flow, right? When you like look up and you're like, oh, I've just been editing for 6 hours or whatever. You're like, you found something that for whatever reason, you're like on the right wavelength. So that is kind of how drawing has felt, which is really encouraging. Cool. Yeah, I hope it turns into a career. It's going to.
It is. It's going to. Becoming
You're inspiring to me.
Yeah.
I'm really inspired.
You are both inspiring to me. Being here in a house.
And then we all just masturbate to the idea of ourselves. We're like, yeah, we're amazing.
Yeah, women are amazing.
No, but I think it's interesting. There's this book that I read in college about, I think it's called Mindset, but it's Carol Dweck, it's the difference of like a growth versus a fixed mindset. And I think it's really natural for people in their like late 20s to feel like all of our talents are fixed, and it's like, oh well, I've never been able to do this, so like I probably can't do it. And I'm very inspired that you're like saw a way to be like, oh, I could actually learn how to do something and not just stay with like, because you're also very talented performing, and I feel like it's easy for performers to be like, well, this is the one thing that I'm good at, and feel like there's to probably just assume that there's nothing else instead of like assuming that you could learn something else.
Yeah, I think feeling stuck in your lane of like, oh well, I'm a performer so I can't be a visual artist, which is something I would tell myself, and now I'm like, that's so silly.
It's yeah.
And also like you will be able to enjoy the like the drawing and the graphic design, and so that when like acting stuff comes along, you're not gonna be like so thirsty to be like, I need this job. Which is such a fun energy to have in
an
audition room.
So fun. Yeah, I agree. I was telling my mom, I've always felt like, okay, well, I'll probably always perform and write in some capacity, whether that's like career-wise or on the side. Like, it will always be part of my life. And as I get more into the graphic design, I'm like, oh, this feels similar, where like if I was to suddenly book it big, I would still want to be designing, I think.
That's so cool.
That's amazing.
Well, thank you. But I similarly feel inspired. You girls are like, you girls. I didn't want to say guys because that feels gendered.
Call me girl. I feel like I'm reclaiming girl.
Yeah, let's reclaim girl.
I think girl can be here any age. I think girl can be the same as guys, you know?
Yes. Yes. But I let the rhetoric of the world of like, you're infantilizing women get in my head.
I know.
And so then well, as soon as I said it, I was like...
There's some people I don't want to call me a girl.
Yeah.
But
hey, y'all like a grown me. Man.
Yeah.
Right
yeah.
here, right now.
Reclaim girls. Girl.
Yeah, but in being like, oh yeah, I'm not booking. So why am I going to wait for someone to hand me something? Like, I'm going to make it for myself. That is very inspiring. So I feel like watching you guys work, I'm like, oh, I should be doing that. Why not create a space for yourself?
Well, thanks.
Yeah.
Going back to what we were saying, it's because no one was casting us.
They will.
And now no one's casting.
No one was casting us.
But now the beauty is no one's casting anyone.
Anyone. And that's the real circle of life.
That's the yo-yo circle, just bringing it back.
That's a callback that you could potentially enjoy seeing at the Improv Hub /show.
Yes.
Our last kind of segment is if you want to highlight any artists. I mean, we've just highlighted ourselves back and forth a couple times, but if there's anyone like you're reading or watching or seeing that you're like, heck yeah, and want to highlight, but also
we and also this. We highlight you.
You're already highlighted. So if you feel like that's the end of the sentence, that's great too.
Yeah, just look more into me. No, I'm reading a great children's book right now. It's not children's, it's like young adult. I also had just talked about this on our last podcast episode, which was about a month ago. So I did put it down because I have been reading in between. Okay.
I feel like I'm still reading.
I read. My boyfriend did tell his brother that I don't read when we first started dating.
Wow.
And then he found out that I do read and had to go back and be like, she does read. I was so offended.
That is offensive.
Yes.
Wait, just like she doesn't like to read or like she can't read?
Like she doesn't like to read. She chooses not to read. Not that I can't, but that I don't.
It's interesting to me when people like to say that about themselves, because I'm like, you know, no one would check up on that. So you could just say that you like to read and then you just don't sound like an idiot.
Yeah.
Like, I've heard people be, like really violently defend that they don't read. And I'm like, why?
Yeah. Especially today. You don't even have to read the book. Get an audiobook. Like,
yeah.
It will tell it to your ears.
Yes.
It'll tell it.
And that's the slogan tagline for most audiobook distribution companies. We'll tell it to your ears.
I love that. That's great marketing.
You graphic design it.
Yeah.
Maybe my life will just be making slogans.
I feel like we have just recently met, but I feel like you would be so good at that.
I see that for you also.
It's like, I make slogans and I name ice cream flavors, you know?
That sounds like a good life, though.
Truly.
Traveling the country.
Eating ice creams.
Doing
and
very little.
Okay, wait, so what's the book?
Okay, this book is Pet by Akweki Emesi. And it is very good.
Okay, are we like picture book, YA, like where in the landscape of children's books are we?
It's YA. And yeah. I love young adult books because I think they're the most creative genre.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about a transgender girl who her mom paints a painting that comes to life.
Wow.
Beautiful. I actually just kind of got shivers when you said that. Lock line. And I was like, that sounds beautiful.
It's kind of, there's like so much happening. It's kind of hard to boil down to a sentence without spoiling anything.
Okay.
But I would check it out.
Is it like kind of a little bit magical realism-y?
Yes. The painting like comes to life to hunt a monster in a world where there are no more monsters, supposedly.
Whoa. Except for humans.
Except for the monsters inside us all.
Ooh.
Ooh.
You'll have to read to find out.
Yeah.
Okay, my very last question is, would you ever make a children's book?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
I would love to write a children's book or, like, illustrate a children's book.
Why not both?
Why not?
Have it all. Remember?
You can have it all.
And then they just put your name at the bottom.
I'm seeing that Nora likes credit.
We will have to unpack on another podcast.
Oh my gosh, well thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for making me in my room and for joining us.
I will say it feels great in here now. It feels great.
I feel like I don't feel stressed that things are going to fall on me. And I'd like to see some Yo-Yo before the end of this time.
Yeah, if you can find it in your car.
Just kidding. My messy car. You know what? You got me.
Thank you so much. Okay, Catherine Whistler. We've never done this before, but I like it.
We've never been in the same room as people when we interview them.
Yeah, that's true.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, that's what we have today. If you're interested in being on the Hysterical Women podcast, send us a DM and we would love to have you.
We'd love to hear from you. More voices in the conversation can only be good.
Thanks for listening.
If you listened.
If you like the pod, hit subscribe and leave us a review.
Also, if you have a macro event that you'd like us to cover, slide into our DMs on Instagram @hystericalwomen.